This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna alhamdulillahi na'hmaduhu wa nasta'inu wa nasta'aghfiruh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu falamudillala. Wa man yudlil falahadiyala. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la. Wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Amma ba'du fa inna asdaqal hadithi kitabullah. وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة كل ضلالة في النار رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. As we enter into the climax or the end of Ramadan, whereby we find the ultimate blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descend, we find that some individuals and even hatta ba'd al-khutaba, some of the imams that begin inside their sermons, begin in the beginning of Ramadan, the middle of Ramadan, end of Ramadan, to begin to quote such quotations which they believe is an authentic hadith, أَوَّلَهُ رَحْمَةُ وَأَوْسَطُهُ مَغْفِرَةُ وَآخِرَهُ إِتْقٌ مِنَ النَّارِ. That the beginning part of Ramadan is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the middle part is the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the final 10 nights are itqun min an-nar, is to be delivered from the punishment of the hellfire. So as we mentioned, many people will quote this, but this unfortunately is not an authentic hadith. Some ulama have classified it as da'if, and some have even classified it as being munkar, as being something which is totally rejected. But the meaning in its totality could be something which is acceptable, meaning that the whole of the month of Ramadan is a month of mercy, the whole of the month of Ramadan is a month of maghfirah, and the whole of the month of Ramadan is itqun min an-nar, to be delivered from the fire. So a person can take this meaning and try to focus in this whole of this month of Ramadan is asking the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and asking to be delivered and rescued from the fire. Because the whole intent of the human being on the face of this earth is to rescue oneself from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's as we find the end of Surah Al-Imran, Allah mentions, فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازْ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاءُ الْغُرُورِ. Whoever is delivered from the hellfire and thrown into paradise, that individual is the most successful individual. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاءُ الْغُرُورِ. What is this world except for a great big deception that this world is? So we find that the world that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌ وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَىٰ حِينٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed us upon this earth for a set amount of time, and to avail that time and to avail the opportunity. So the earth for us is a bridging gap between this world and the hereafter, and to use the moments and the time on this earth to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses certain moments, places certain moments, praises certain places, certain awqat, certain times, that a person should avail those opportunities to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we find inside the Qur'an, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالَّذِي جَعَلَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ خِلْفَةً لِمَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يَذَّكَّرَ أَوْ أَرَادَ شُكُورًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed the alternation, the night and the day, for whoever wants to reflect and ponder upon that, أَوْ أَرَادَ شُكُورًا, or to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are all moments or places that have been placed there, or the celestial bodies as they say, for us to use them to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, we find Yawm al-Jum'ah, there's sa'ah, there's a time in the Yawm al-Jum'ah whereby the dua of the individual is answered. Hatta yani taqriban 40 aqwal, some even go to this 40 different statements about when is the right time, but the most appropriate time, and al-ilmu inda Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seems to be more authentic, is the latter part of Salatul Asr, whereby the dua is in Sa'atul Istijaba, the hour of response for the individual. The day of Arafah, that we find is a chosen location and a place and a time on the plains of Arafah, that a person avails the opportunity to call upon and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last third of the night, person uses the opportunity to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bain al-adhani wal-iqama, between the adhan and the iqama, عند النزول المطر, in the time when the rain is descending or coming down, person uses all his opportunities to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed any certain moments inside Ramadan that person needs to avail. As also we find the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, also the 10 blessed days that we find, these 10 days are the best days. on the face of this earth. And they would have even excelled Ramadan, as some of the ulama mentioned. But the only reason that Ramadan excels beyond the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, if you read the tafsir of Surah Al-Fajr, Wal-Fajri Wal-Layalin Ashr, Wal-Shaf'i Wal-Watr, read the tafsir Ibn Kathir to see a more deeper understanding of the various evidences of praising those first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. But the reason that Ramadan excels even the first 10 days or the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah is because inside Ramadan you find a night which is khayrum min alfi shahr, a night which is better than any 1,000 months. So this gives the preference of Ramadan over any other moment on the time or on the calendar that we find for the individual Muslim to focus inside this month of Ramadan. We find numerous ahadith that we find, man sama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaban ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbihi. Whoever fasts the month of Ramadan will have with iman and ihtisab. Ihtisab once again carries many meanings, but a generic meaning that we find is hoping for ajr with sincerity to gain that reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Man qama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaban, whoever stands in Ramadan, the night prayer, Salatul Taraweeh, or Tahajjud, or Qiyamul Layl, with Iman and hoping for a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person's sins will be forgiven as well. And then whoever, man qama Laylatul Qadr, whoever stands the night of Laylatul Qadr, will have that reward as well. So here we find this emphasis of availing the month of Ramadan to carry out righteous actions to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as we come to the end of Ramadan, or the final 10 nights of Ramadan, we find an exertion or an extra effort that a Muslim needs to make to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because no individual knows whether the opportunity will ever come back again. So, as we mentioned, that this night is better than 1,000 months. 1,000 months, which basically approximately in numeric format, is 83 years and 4 months, which we find that most of us won't live for that age, because we find in authentic narrations that the average age of this Muslim, of this ummah, will be bayna sittin wa sab'een, will be between 60 and 70. Some ulama go to the view that anything that goes beyond that becomes a form of hardship for the individual. So thus, it's been the wisdom is that life of the individual between 60 and 70. Obviously, people could die before that, people could die after that. But this is the average age of the ummah that we find. So most of us are not going to live for 83 years and 4 months. So the person needs to avail this opportunity to find this blessed month or this blessed night of Laylatul Qadr, which occurs in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when the last 10 nights would come, then he would excel in ibadah, that he would fasten his lower garment as a form of a speech of saying that he would absolve himself from any matrimonial relationship or being intimate with his wives. And he would also spend the nights awake, and he would awaken his family members to come and join them in the prayer. So these were the steps of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Also we find the focus of making i'tikaf, of going into a solution in solitude inside the final 10 nights of Ramadan to focus on ibadah lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, we find that the ibadah inside Laylatul Qadr doesn't need to be restricted to just excessive praying, etc. We find a raka'at that people may say that, if a person reads 1,000 raka'at, once again, this goes back to, as we began with, authenticity, that people have these weird and wonderful views of excelling. Whoever reads 1,000 raka'at on the night of Sha'ban, or reads it in the night of Laylatul Qadr, or reads Surah Al-Ikhlas 1,000 times, and this is the reward that will be given to them, and this will be guaranteed for them. Person should be wary of such narrations which speak about mass amount of reward, and narrations which are not authentic or they sound skeptical. Person should be wary of them. Stick to the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. You find numerous narrations about him advising his companion, advising even his wives. One of the wives making dhikr all morning, all the way until the rising of the sun, or until dhuhr time. And he said, if you only said these certain words, then this would been suffice, this would been sufficient for that. So the advice of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam should be taken, and person should implement that. When Aisha, a mother, asked the question, what should I say on the night of Laylatul Qadr? And he responded and said to her, say this dua, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni. Some narration mentions, Allahumma innaka afuun kareemun. Some ulama of hadith have made a critique about them, but the authentic narration is, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni. So this is the dua that a person should be excelling in making it during the last 10 nights of Ramadan, when they're standing in prayer towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. find that the exertion that a person should be doing during this month of Ramadan in focusing towards ibadah lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, we said that it doesn't just need to be restricted to a person just reading extra nawafil. We find reading the Quran. Imam Malik, rahmatullahi alayhi, it was known that he would abandon all forms of teaching and only focus on the Quran during the month of Ramadan. And even some people pose the question, should a person read tafsir, etc. in the month of Ramadan? And some are even going to review, even that should be avoided and make specifically this month of Ramadan of qira'ah, of recital and pondering over the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and trying to exert in making khatmul Qur'an, in the completion of the Qur'an during these 29 or 30 days of Ramadan. And if a person can, during the last 10 nights, to exert to even make another completion during this month of the final 10 nights of Ramadan that we find. So we find that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, or inside the Quran that we find, is the encouragement of finding Laylatul Qadr. As we mentioned, Laylatul Qadr, yani the surah, 97th surah of the Quran that we find, Inna anzalnahu fi Laylatul Qadr. Indeed, we've sent it down in the night of Laylatul Qadr. Now, what is Laylatul Qadr referring to? It is referring to the night whereby the Quran was sent down. Imam Suyuti speaks about this, that the Quran was sent down. It was placed in the lowest heavens, in Lawh al-Mahfuz, in the guarded tablet. And then from there, it was brought down over a period of 23 years upon the chest of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this, the night of Qadr, the night of decree, the night of power, the night of honor, of glory, is the night whereby the Quran was sent down. And the night of Qadr is no doubt inside the month of Ramadan, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself mentions in Surah Al-Baqarah, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ هُدَى لِلنَّاسِ وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِّنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ. The month of Ramadan is the month whereby we sent down the Qur'an. أُنزِلَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ هُدَى لِلنَّاسِ وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِّنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ. That the month of Ramadan is whereby the Qur'an was sent down, guidance for mankind and a criterion to establish the guidance and to the distinction between that which is good and that which is bad. That is the Qur'an. So from this verse we find that Laylatul Qadr is inside, the Qur'an was sent down inside Laylatul Qadr, and Laylatul Qadr is inside the month of Ramadan. The reason why we mention this is because some people try to show some evidences from Surah Al-Dukhan, the 44th Surah of the Qur'an, about speaking about إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ. Indeed, we sent it down in the blessed night. And here they try to use this as an evidence. This is referring to the 15th of Sha'ban, which is another blessed night to a certain degree. There's some narration that speak about it. But as for to congregate and to make it a big practice, etc., this is going away from the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Anyhow, what concerns us, they try to use this verse from Surah Al-Dukhan to prove the authenticity of the 15th of Sha'ban. And this, you know, not just technically is a flawed argument, but even linguistically, if you study the ayat in great detail, it's referring to the Qur'an. And as we mentioned, that the Qur'an was sent down inside Ramadan. So this Layla al-Mubarakah, this blessed night, is none other than the night of Laylatul Qadr, whereby the Qur'an was sent down. And even as a side point, prior to Laylatul Qadr, we find is Suratul Alaq, اِقْرَأْ بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقْ, whereby that we find it was said to the Prophet alayhi, read, recite, who created you from the clot. Etc. that we find, and these first five ayat of Surah Al-Alaq that we find come before Surah Al-Qadr, and the relationship there between the two surahs and relationship of the Qur'an there is quite evident, that can be taken and extracted from this. So Laylatul Qadr, as we find in narrations, occurs in the odd nights of the last 10 nights. Now obviously we need to emphasize before we delve any further, is we should try to exert ourselves during all 10 nights. Because obviously with the differences of opinion regarding the calendar, when did Ramadan begin, etc., to be on the safe side, so a person should try all 10 nights. And if they're not able to, then they should try the odd nights, the 21st, the 23rd, the 25th, the 27th, the 29th. If they're not able to do that, then we find the latter part, the 25th, the 27th, and the 29th. So this is all a form of targhib, of encouragement for the person. And at the same time, a person shouldn't base their life on that one night of ibadah. This is what many of us Muslims, unfortunately, have become known for, that the only one day or the one moment we base our life upon that. So we find the final Jum'ah of Ramadan, maybe there could be some blessings about it, but I haven't personally come across any ahadith which speak about that the final Jum'ah of Ramadan is a blessed Jum'ah than all other previous Ramadans. But let's say for argument's sake, we accept it, that there's some element of blessing or a gathering that we find that's going to be on the final Jum'ah of Ramadan. Do we now base the whole of our ibadah that I have to make sure that I'm there for that one Jum'ah to gain the extra reward? Likewise, certain days inside Muharram that we find, in Dhul Hijjah that we find, that we become compartmentalized our ibadah, that on certain moments that we rush towards it and then we don't follow that throughout for the rest of the moments of the day or the rest of our lives. And thus ulama mentioned that signs of a Ramadan, of a person being accepted for an individual, and the fruits of the Ramadan being visualized are not actually in Ramadan. To a certain degree they are, but the real impact of Ramadan is after Ramadan, that the person has changed. The person has developed a closeness relationship in ibadah towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that takes them out for the rest of the year until they come to the following Ramadan again, and then whereby the iman may have lessened to a certain degree, they begin to thrive once again in ibadah and obedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a sign of the sweetness of Ramadan for the individual. It gives them that boost, that encouragement to carry out more ibadah after the month of Ramadan, and to be committed and to have that feeling of concentration, devotion towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after this month of Ramadan. Now we find that many of the common masses, they go to the view that Laylatul Qadr falls on the 27th of Ramadan. Prior to this, we find a hadith inside Sahih Muslim whereby the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he performed ibadah on the night, whereby he said that he saw himself inside a dream prostrating in the mud. And in the following day, after ibadah was complete, it rained, and the Prophet wasalam, he had prostrated, and there was the signs of the marks of mud that was on his blessed forehead, and this was the 21st night of Ramadan. The 21st night it was. So this shows that it's not necessarily going to be the 27th night of Ramadan. So it can be the 21st, the 23rd, the 25th, the 27th, the 29th. And the ulama have gone to the view, it can alternate every single year. It can alternate. That's why you find that some of the ulama have written some works about it. Sharh al-Sadr fi Laylat al-Qadr Hafidh al-Iraqi has written a whole risala speaking about any expansion of the chest regarding Laylatul Qadr. So you find that it can alternate every single year. And there are some narrations who speak about just the 27th, but like we said, that the authenticity is questionable, and just to base it on the 27th, to make it the 27th, is something which is not totally accurate. As some of them try to make a mystical approach from the Qur'an and try to dissect that it is the 27th. For example, the kalimat Laylatul Qadr, they contain 9 letters. And Laylatul Qadr comes inside Suratul Qadr 3 times. So 9 times 3 equals 27, so the 27th night is Laylatul Qadr. Likewise, others have said that if you count all of the words that you find, and you eventually come to Laylatul Qadr, come to the word fiha, you find that there, that is the 27th word, so that is fiha, refers to none other than Laylatul Qadr, and being that night. These are all mystical approaches that we find, and the authenticity is obviously not one that one can take any based upon these type of dissection or this type of approach towards the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One should stick to the authentic narrations, as we mentioned, and try to practice that inside their lives to gain the full reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we mentioned, that in the hadith in Bukhari as well, that the knowledge of it was actually given to the Prophet ﷺ, but it was because people began to dispute and ask about it, then it was lifted from the Prophet ﷺ regarding that night, whether that night was actually, that was the night of Laylatul Qadr. So this is a hikmah that lies with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's why there are many rulings and injunctions whereby certain things are not crystal clear mentioned inside the Quran and Sunnah, or the specific details not mentioned. For what intent? For us to better our ibadah, for us to exert ourselves. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see from us. مَا يَفْعَلَ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gain via punishing us? إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ مَكَانَ اللَّهُ شَاكِرًا عَلِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to show shukr and iman. That's Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah mentions that al-iman nisfu shukr, half of it is being gratitude, grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is for sabr, and the other half is being patient. And that is the life of a believer. So a person patiently tries to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And obviously it's difficult. The days are long, long days of fasting, etc., that you find a person isn't in a normal climate with the current scenario at the moment. So a person needs to exert themselves inside there. And that's as we find that as this is the final moments of Ramadan, this is like, as they say, some explain as the winning horse. That now, because all horses have the same amount of strength that they have, But it's the final moment, it's the final lap, it's the final instance, the final few yards whereby the winning horse will just edge that bit forward. And that is what the Muslim should be, the winning horse, at the final moments of exerting themselves to gain that maximum reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in pushing themselves that just to exert myself more. Because the luxuries of the dunya, of food, of drink, they will still be there if a person lives. That person can rejoice with them, etc. But the returning of Ramadan, no one knows. And even if we study this point carefully, who amongst us would think that this Ramadan we'll be sitting in a lockdown? Who would ever thought that the masajid will be closed? There will be no ibadah, there will be no salah, there will be no tarawih, there will be no i'tikaf, there will be no congregation, there will be no opening of the fast together in the masajid, there will be no i'tikaf. Not a single one of us ever dreamt that we will be sitting at this Ramadan in this manner. So this is the way we need to approach Ramadan, that next Ramadan, we may not even be in existence. We may not even be here. So this could be my final Ramadan, so I need to be, as they say, I need to be selfish. Person needs to be selfish in his final moments of Ramadan to lock themselves away from everything and just focus upon ibadah lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala and not to be derailed. And likewise, it's a world of media and technology, etc., that you find, and Facebook and messages, etc. These, in all honesty, is a point of disturbance. Obviously, there's much khair and goodness inside them, but when a person is in state of ibadah, it's quite sad that all of us fall prey to this. As soon as salah is finished, the first thing that many of us will do is we take out our phones and check the messages, check the conversations. You know, this is a moment whereby we should be selfish and try to derail ourselves away from these gadgets and try to focus in ibadah lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala to gain the maximum reward. And we know that the time span and the concentration span of people is not much. It's not a long time span that we find, and what they say, the himmah, the encouragement or the strength or the zeal or the passion is weaning away, is becoming weaker and weaker of people. People just want a fast track to Jannah. There is, in all honesty, there is no fast track to Jannah. There is no fast track. There are certain things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed there that make it better for the individual. So even a concept that if a person dies in Yawmul Jum'ah or the person dies in Ramadan, the person is a blessed individual. But that still, as a side point, does not guarantee paradise. It's a blessing for the person who dies on the night of Yawmul Jum'ah. It's a blessing for a person who dies in Ramadan, there's no doubt. But that doesn't guarantee paradise. Obviously, we should go more to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's month of Ramadan, as we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened up all the doors of paradise and sealed the doors of Jahannam. So this is a great blessing that all of the doors of paradise are open for us to try to exert ourselves to enter into these doors. The doors of Jahannam are closed, and we find that the shayateen, the devils, have been chained up. Some people still pose the question that how comes a person's people still do evil or they come towards evil? And various interpretations of ulama of hadith have been given is that the main central, the leaders of the devils have been chained up, and the smaller shayateen, they're still out loose to do what they want to do. Another interpretation is that this wickedness is from the person themselves. That if the person in Ramadan does not avoid evil, does not control themselves, this is from themselves. They can't now blame shaitan. They can only blame themselves. And that's the Prophet ﷺ, he used harsh words. And very rarely do he use harsh words against this Muslim ummah. Whereby he took steps, or he said a dua, he said a certain dua, or he said Ameen. He said Ameen three times. And the companions asked a question, you've done something very, very strange by saying Ameen to certain words. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, main part is hadith inside the Sahih of Imam Muslim, and likewise in the collection of Ibn Khuzaymah. He said, indeed, Jibreel ﷺ, he came to me, and what concerns us, there's three things, he said Ameen too, but what concerns us here at this point, that a person comes to the month of Ramadan, may that person's nose be rubbed in dust, or may that person be driven away and be brought closer to the hellfire. The person comes to Ramadan and they're not able to save themselves. They don't rescue themselves. They don't gain the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person, in other words, may Allah forbid and to use such words, is a wretched individual. Has lost the opportunity of the blessings of Ramadan and coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a moment in time that يَا يُلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Save yourselves and save your family members from the hellfire. Remind yourself and remind your family members to exert themselves during this blessed final nights, 10 nights of Ramadan. Likewise, for inside the Quran, it mentions, "Alaykum anfusakum la yadurukum man dalla idha tadaytum." Upon you, and this is the moment whereby we can apply this verse, is to focus upon yourself, to take these final moments of Ramadan, to exert your efforts inside these final nights to become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our meagerly actions. And likewise to grant us tawfiq to continue after the month of Ramadan. As we mentioned, the signs of Ramadan being accepted is person carries out actions after Ramadan. And thus we find the encouragement, whoever fasts the month of Ramadan and then follows it with the six fasts of Shawwal, كَصِيَامِ الدَّهْرِ, is like the fast of the whole year. So how does it work out to be the fast of the whole year? We find that one day of fasting month of Ramadan is equivalent to 10 rewards. So that it becomes 30 days. Take the 6 days of Shawwal, that becomes 36, times that by 10, it becomes 360. So these 29, 30 days fasting along, coupled with the 6 days of Shawwal, is as if كَصِيَامِ الدَّهْرِ, as if the person has fasted the whole year. Look at the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that small actions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places for our benefit as we began with. Moments in the day, moments in the evening, moments in the month, moments in the year, moments in a person's lifetime. That if a person avails them, that will multiply the reward of the individual and give the individual more chances of being entered into the paradise by the permission and the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we mentioned as we began, مَنْ صَامَ رَمَضَانْ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا مَنْ قَامَ رَمَضَانْ مَنْ قَامَ فِي لَيْلِ الْقَدْرِ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا, is all a chance for the individual to come closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So thus, in conclusion, a person should take these moments inside Laylatul Qadr, seeking Laylatul Qadr, in making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for themselves to remain steadfast, to be committed in obedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to stay away from any form of dhunub or al-ma'asi, pray for their parents, for their loved ones, for their brothers, their sisters, their family members, because everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one should think, oh, I'm asking too much. This is an incorrect concept that we have. We should excel in asking and asking even more. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives and responds. No one compels Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and no one can think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not answer the dua, and especially the dua of the believing individuals. Thus we find that inside the whole siyaq, the context of Ramadan inside the Surah Al-Baqarah, from verse 183 onwards, we find the whole page and a bit, the following page, inside you find when it's speaking about the concept of Ramadan and the fiqh of Ramadan and some rules and regulations of Ramadan and the sending of the Qur'an, we find the most powerful verse regarding dua inside the Qur'an. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ وَجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانَ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي, if the servant asks about me, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, then I'm close. Now we need to study this verse in great detail, because there's many passages inside the Quran. Whenever the Quraysh, whenever the companions, whenever people would ask certain questions, yas'alunaka, they ask you regarding ar-ruh, about the soul, they ask you about al-khamr wal-maisir, they ask you about wine, about gambling, they ask you about the women's menstrual cycle, they ask you about anil ahilla, they ask you about the crescent. Look at the answer. They ask you about Allah. Qul huwallahu ahad. The answer is always qul. This is the answer. Say to them, this is the answer. This is the only unique place inside the Qur'an. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي, the servant asks about me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not say, فَقُلْ إِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Allah does not command the Prophet ﷺ to say to the people that Allah is close. Allah responds himself by saying, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, I am close by. Allah doesn't say, I'm close to a person who is a good Muslim, I'm far away from a bad Muslim, or Muslim like this, or Muslim this category. Allah says, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانَ, I respond to the call of whoever calls to me. Whoever calls to me, I'll respond to that individual. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّمْ يَرْشُدُونَ, let them respond to my call, ask of me, and then I will rightly guide them. This is the key element. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to call upon Him and ask Him, and He will respond. And even as a side point, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not respond, amongst the wisdoms of dua that we find, that reward for that individual will be stored inside the akhirah, or that we find that some calamity that could be befalling that individual will be taken, derailed from them, of their qadr. And this really isn't a changing of qadr, as some people say that the night of destiny changes my destiny. The night of destiny does not change your destiny. The night of destiny is something already, as we began with, has been decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everything that you do has been decreed. All that happens is how some ulama have described it, is that on that night, the commandments for that following year, of who's going to be born, who's going to die, who's going to become rich or poor, those commandments are brought down. They're just brought down from Lawhul Mahfuz, the guarded tablet. The destiny has been sealed and placed for every single individual. Those commandments for that coming year are just brought down by the angels. So when people have this concept that the night of Qadr is a night whereby I will change my destiny, or destiny will be changed, no one's destiny will be changed in this complete format. Small elements of destiny can be changed, which has been mentioned by certain ahadith, person does certain actions, but as for the final ultimate destiny, it's been destined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So destiny, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined it, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up avenues for the person, that a person who's destined for paradise, that Allah allows that person to begin to do actions of the people of paradise. Person who's destined for the hellfire, they begin to do more and more actions of the people of hellfire. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us paradise and the highest level of paradise. Give us the tawfiq and ability to excel in these final moments of Ramadan, to do good deeds. And then to top that up, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept these actions. إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only accepts from the pious individuals. And also in conclusion, that our actions are sincere and in accordance with the sunnah. As we began with, many people follow any khurafat, any baseless narrations, innovated practices, and they rely upon them and give them a preference over the authentic narrations. And even if a person goes towards weak narrations, why are we going towards weak narrations when we have authentic narrations on what we need to do? That is what we need to fulfill inside our life, rather than tiring ourselves in doing excessive actions which have no basis, and may Allah forbid they could be rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. So that's the two criteria that every Muslim should have inside their life, is one, to be sincere, and secondly, to try to conform all of their actions to be in accordance with the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that will increase any of their actions, their reward in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِلَيْهِ يَسْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ. We find that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes, the good word is lifted to him, وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحِ يَرْفَعُهُ, and the good actions push it up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just to say that you believe in a nutshell is not enough. The person needs to show that conviction via actions. And that's what many of the average Muslims become, that we just do a lip service on Laylatul Qadr, we do a lip service on the month of Ramadan, etc. The impact of this night, the impact of Ramadan, should lead the person towards change. Taking them away from the haram into the halal. Take them away from ma'siyah ila ta'a, from disobedience to obedience. From al-fujur ila taqwa. That's what it should do to a person. That should be the real impact. So even accidentally, let's say a person enters into Laylatul Qadr, and if the masjids were open making dua, but if they were sincere that they're making dua, Allah, I want to change, then that could be a changing point for them. But if it just becomes a cultural gathering, as many of us that we have, a cultural getting together and just a gathering inside the masjid, but the impact isn't there, then there will be no fruits, neither for the community or neither for the individual, because Islam isn't about masses of numbers. It's about purity. It's about devotion. It's about commitment. And that is what we need in this Muslim ummah, to be devotee observers of obedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus Allah mentions in the Quran in two different locations, slightly different wordings, but inside Surah Ra'd in the 13th chapter that we find, Allah mentioned, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah will never change the condition, the state of a people until they don't change their own selves. There is no secrecy. There's no secret revelation. There's no secret solution. The secrecy is change yourself, so Allah will allow to change to take place on the earth. That is how simple it is. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to change ourselves, to make ourselves become more observant, servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to become ibadur rahman, servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our ibadah, in our worship, in our daily life. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide this Muslim ummah to that which is correct and that which is strong, and to unite this Muslim ummah. And likewise, in conclusion, to take away this calamity, this sickness, this disease, this coronavirus that we're finding, the COVID-19, the lockdown, to remove it. That is, we don't really find that, you know, even amongst Muslims are saying that this is something, a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to repent back to him and ask him. Even the non-Muslims, a very few of them, have even acknowledged that we need to pray to God and ask God to alleviate from the suffering. Everyone is using their own mindset, their own words, their own skill, their own technology, that we will come out of this. We will not come out of this except for via the permission and the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we pray and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lift this calamity and this difficulty away from us, that we may return back to the masajid and to exert our iman and rejoice our iman to be inside the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praying and calling upon Him. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.